the planet warms, you can expect some changes in the food you eat. This morning, for the conclusion of our series on the future of food, WBUR's Andrea Shea sampled some desserts made with unusual ingredients that could be coming.
Designer and researcher Keith Hartwig has been searching for ways to engage people's senses while getting them to think about climate change and local food systems. He's part of an exhibition at Cambridge City Hall called Untold Possibilities at the Last Minute. With his team at Harvard's Meta Lab, Hartwig created a series of interactive tastings called Future Food to pair with the exhibit. To start, the team asked chefs and other food makers questions about the environment. Then they were given word prompts to get the creative juices flowing.
One is invasiveness. One is involved, which is to think about how we can start working with communities to address these questions. And the third is invisible. So what are the sort of invisible or hidden effects of climate change on the food system?
Hartwig and the food producers are inside the renowned ice cream shop Tuscanini's in Kendall Square, where co-founder Gus Rancatori is experimenting with a provocative ingredient.
He is using Japanese knotweed, which has become a sort of symbol of invasiveness, and a plant that has grown prolifically as a result of environmental disruption and climate change, but actually is full of nutrition and has a lot of opportunities as a future food.
So what we're going to do today is make knotweed sorbet. And we're actually making this for the second, possibly the third time, because we want to improve the texture.
That's Gus Rancatori.
Okay, I'm going to remove it from the heat. Knotweed is kind of your prototypical invasive species that grows everywhere wildly and recklessly. The idea that we might be able to get some benefits from it, I thought was interesting. And it's also an example of how everybody who's in the food business has to adapt to a changing environment.
Rancatori enlisted local foragers to get early season knotweed because it tastes better.
This is the distillation of a week's worth of work by five people who brought us 100 pounds of knotweed that they harvested from wildlife areas. We cooked it down, then we pureed it, then we sieved it, and we got this exotic mucilage, to use a word you don't get to use too often.
Rancatori adds applesauce to the mixture, giving it an earthy greenish-brown color, kind of like camouflage.
So what I have here is one cup of the knotweed, and I'm going to add one cup of the sugar syrup.
He says the feral mixture tastes like a funky applesauce.
Does anyone want to try it?
Yeah.
It's actually not bad. Sweet and herbaceous.
I don't think this is something that's going to work its way into supermarket freezers. I think this is an interesting project that makes you think about changes in the environment and changes in American food ways.
Another one of Hartwig's collaborators is Nate Finnessy.
I've been a chef in Boston for the past 10 years. I'm focusing on kind of the invisible forces that guide food now and will guide food in the future.
He's working with five different distinct varieties of honey to create both a toffee and also honey waters that will allow people to taste the distinct honey varieties and to consider their relationship to the sort of broader ecology of our region.
So these are some of the honey toffees that I made. They're definitely toffee consistency and very sticky.
Boston wildflower honey is Finnessy's sole ingredient. For a sipping sampler, or flight of waters, he dilutes honey made from basswood, clethra, black locust, and knotweed. He'll wrap the toffees in edible flowers to force people to make connections.
The toffee is a kind of easy way in, because you just eat a piece of candy, and that gets you into a broader conversation about bees, what they do for plants, wildlife, and everything that we see around us. Because they are hopefully part of the future.
My name is Naila Besares, and I am the co-founder of Baravena. Baravena is an oat-based frozen helado that is both nutritious and sustainable.
While studying nutrition at Tufts, Bezares and her partner developed Latin-inspired ice cream, or helado. They use climate-friendly oats instead of dairy because dairy cows contribute greenhouse gases, she says. Bezares adds the production of other plant-based alternatives like almond or coconut milk deplete the planet.
Coconuts are imported from far, far away. They're high in saturated fat, have a strong flavor. Nuts, on the other hand, most of them are grown in California, but they require a lot of water. And California, as you know, is already suffering a lot from water stress.
Bezada says oats are grown around the country and require less water.
Do you want to serve the other one?
She's made a special helado with a sesame brittle and a more common ingredient, bananas.
They're such an important part of the American diet in so many ways. They make fruits accessible to a lot of people. They're part of a lot of desserts that we choose, but we don't grow any of them here in the United States. And so we hope that we can use that as an opportunity to highlight the fact that every day we're faced with choices that can help perpetuate the challenges that we already face in our food system.
The exhibition's frozen desserts and candy are sweet ways to help the medicine go down while considering the realities of climate change. The collaborators hope more people will be inspired to create their own solutions for a more sustainable menu. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.